す初めの一歩、目の一歩踏み出す、目の一歩踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite to catch up on the team that once had its manager come in as a pinch hitter and hit a walk-off grand slam home run. That's right, pretty exciting stuff. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is June the 5th, 2017, and this is episode 64. Welcome to the show! Let's talk about our number 64 before we go any further. And that number 64 would be none other than Kentaro Kuwahara. Kentaro Kuwahara came to the Hanshin Tigers back at the start of the 2015 season and spent most of 2015 on the farm and all of 2016 on the farm, and he looked like a bust. But let's go back a little bit further than that. He was drafted by the Yokohama Bay Stars in 2007 in the third round. And in 2008, he made his debut with the team. He was a starter for a little while. And in his very first start, I believe it was, he threw a complete game shutout. Who were his opponents? That's right, none other than us, Hanshin Tigers. So there you have it. He went on to the Oryx Buffaloes, and then we picked him up off of the discard pile, I believe, in 2015. And now, this season, he is coming along quite nicely. He has appeared in 25 games, pitching 24 innings, and giving up just 3 earned runs, averaging 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, an ERA of 1.13, and he has become a crucial part of what has become a very good bullpen. So thank you, Mr. Kuwahara, for joining our team. One more thing before we leave this number 64 in the rearview mirror, at least somewhat. Let's talk about the 1964 season of the Hanshin Tigers, and this is an important one, because it was a very successful one. That's right, 1964 was the year that we won our second pennant in the two-league era. So, going back, we'll talk about some of the main players on the team. Those would be captain and shortstop Yoshio Yoshida, and then we had a slugger in left field named Kazuhiro Yamauchi. And then our main pitchers, we had Minoru Murayama, who had been there for ages, and as far as foreigners, we had a guy named Pete Burnside, who only lasted a season or two, and how can we forget Mr. Gene Backe, who is a friend of the show and a friend of H10, a friend of T-Rays. This was the year, ladies and gentlemen, that Mr. Backe won the Sawamura Award. He became the first, and for a long time, only Sawamura Award winner to have been born stateside. Anyways, the interesting story about this season comes to the end of the year, and that is when Hanshin had 7 games left on the schedule, and they were 3.5 games behind the first place Taiyo Whales, who are now the Yokohama Bay Stars. Anyways, 4 of those games were head-to-head games, 4 of those 7 remaining games, and you know, Hanshin pretty much had to win out the schedule. And guess what? They did. Real quickly about the Nippon Series, we lost this one to the Nankai Hawks, who are now the SoftBank Hawks. They were, however, at the time, in Osaka. Well, Backe was our guy, and they had a guy named Joe Stanka, and Joe Stanka ended up pitching 3 complete game shutouts against us in this one, and so we lost it, you know, in heartbreak style, 4-3. Stanka was, of course, the MVP. And this was the first Nippon Series ever played in the dark, or played at night, that is, and they did this to accommodate the Olympics schedule, because the Olympics in 1964 were in Tokyo, and yes, they took place in October, as did this Nippon Series. And so in order to kind of balance things out, they had the games at night. One more thing, the attendance for Hanshin was actually pretty bad at Koshien. It was much better at Osaka Stadium, where the Nankai Hawks hosted us for games 3, 4, and 5. Anyways, let's jump into today's show before we go any further, so we'll be right back. So, Interleague has started, and let's just remind ourselves that Christian had predicted 2-1 for us against the Marines, and I predicted 3-0. So let's jump right in. On Tuesday, we brought Takumi Akiyama to the mound, and they brought Ayumu Ishikawa to the mound. By the way, in Chiba at these games, they always start 15 minutes later, and I think that's because their stadium is not really easily accessible, and particularly for those that work in Tokyo, which would probably be many of the Chiba fans, you know, just to give them that extra bit of time to be able to get to the stadium, they start games at 6:15, not at 6 o'clock. Well, anyways, we started this one with a two-run blast from Itoi in the first inning, and they came back in the bottom of the second with a home run of their own, as well as three other runs, so it was 4-2 for them. However, we chipped away. Takayama hit a home run in the third, so it's 4-3, and then a squeeze play by Umeno tied the game at 4 in the fourth inning. In the fifth inning, we exploded for 6 runs, so we broke it wide open to a 10-4 game. However, Akiyama was having a bit of a rough game himself, gave up 3 runs in the bottom of the inning, so now it's 10-7. But Hanshin got 2 more in the top of the 6th, 1 more in the top of the 7th, and 2 more in the top of the 9th for a final score of 15-7. So despite giving up 7 runs in 5 innings, Akiyama picks up the win in this one. It was very dominant for us. Of course, Ishikawa had a terrible outing, and he's been struggling all year. You know, despite being a Samurai Japan member, he just has not been himself of late. Well, Hanshin with 15 hits, 15 runs, that is the most they've ever had with Kanemoto at the helm. And they also had 9 walks. So we were just marching all over the place. And that's one thing that characterizes this Hanshin team. And in fact, we have been called the Aruite Mae instead of Itte Mae, which is kind of a, it's a kind of a play on words anyways, is just basically say like we are the walking team. And certainly we are. We're leading the league in walks, and we are definitely showing a lot more selectivity at the plate than normal. Among those 9 walks, 4 of them went to Yoshio Itoi, who reached base safely 5 out of 6 times up at the plate, despite just going 1-for-2 as far as actual at-bats. So, good one. I really thought that Umeno's squeeze play was brilliant. He's been great at bunting all season, and so that was just the right move at the right time. And I applaud Kanemoto or Yano, if he's still the strategy coach, if he's the one that called that. I say good on all of you. So, great start for us. Let's move on to Wednesday, and we have got Atsushi Nomi on the mound, and they have got Chen Guan Yu. Pardon my terrible pronunciation of that. I'm not Taiwanese. So, anyways, in this one, Umeno, with bases loaded and one out in the top of the second, gets us our first point. And then, actually, there was a bad throw on out of left field, and so that gave us our second point. And then, in that same inning, Takayama, with a grounder to second base, kind of to the right side of the infield, to get us a third point. And that was just some good situational hitting. So it's 3-0, and then it went all the way until the ninth without any more scoring. And in that inning, Itoi got an RBI single, and that was followed by Nakatani with an RBI, and that was also on a ground out to second. And on this one, actually, there was a bit of a kind of, how can I put it, a chase down between third and home to end the game, or to end our half of the inning, where Itoi got stuck between third and home. But at that point, it was 5-0, and we were cruising. So Atsushi Nomi, with an incredible game, you know, very stingy, 100 pitches, 7 2/3 innings, 4 hits allowed, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. The man is the man. He has just been outstanding so far this season. Looking like his young self. His ERA is down to 1.87, which leads the Central League. Who would have guessed, after 2 months of play, our Atsushi Nomi would be the league leader in ERA? Not me, that's for sure. Well, it's looking pretty good. It's looking like T-Ray is going to be right and Christian is going to be wrong, and we're going to sweep the series because we've got Randy Messenger on the mound, 6-1 on the year and dominant as anything. And they're bringing some guy named Karakawa or something like that, and he's 1-6 on the year. So you figure it out. Hanshin's going to win, right? Wrong-o. Wrong-o. This one did not go as expected at all. Takayama, though, with a home run on the game's second pitch. So 1-0 for us. That's all we got, though, folks. That is all. So Suzuki, Daichi Suzuki, hit one to left field. Takayama fumbled it. They got 2 runs on that. A couple batters later, or maybe 1 batter later, Nemoto hit another one for them. It's 3-1. And so after 1 inning, it's 3-1. And then in the bottom of the 5th, Kakunaka with an infield hit to make it 4-1. And then in the eighth inning, this is after Messenger has left the game, and we brought in Kazuo Ito. He gave up four more runs, all just random hits. But Roel Santos, the Marines' new acquisition, got his first career RBI at the end of this one. So anyways, this one ends 8-1, a disappointing loss, a disappointing blowout for us. And we do take the series 2-1, just as Christian said. A few notes on this one. Messenger's control was not what it should be or usually is. And he had said after the game that he felt like the mound was a little bit off or whatever, like there was a bit of a divot or whatever, like where he would plant his foot as he's coming off the mound. He said it felt like a countryside ballpark. But he said, you know, I'm not making excuses. You know, these things happen, you know, it's part of the game and I've got to learn to adjust. And so he definitely was not excusing himself. Now, the big story in this one, of course, was that our three guys in the cleanup spots, Itoi, Fukudome, and Nakatani, went 0-12, struck out 3 times, hit into 2 double plays, Fukudome. And none of their hits left the infield. They had some infield flies, they had some ground balls, they had some strikeouts, that's it. The only three guys that got hits for us, I think we had 8 hits on the day, but the only three guys to get hits for us were Takayama, Uemoto, and Itohara, which means they got, I think it was 3-2, and 3, respectively, I believe. So this means that overall, in our lifetimes, against the Marines, we are 26-22-5, and that includes 2-1 in this series, win, win, and loss. Let's move on to the Nippon Ham Fighters, the defending Nippon Series champions. They're not the Ham Fighters, they're the Nippon Ham Fighters. So on Friday, we bring back Iwasada from the farm. And they're bringing in Takanashi, who I believe was runner-up, if not Rookie of the Year last year for the Pacific League. So this one was silent until the fourth inning when Haraguchi hit a home run in the bottom of the fourth inning. Solo shot, barely cleared the wall. It was a line drive right in the corner. 1-0. And the next inning, Itohara hits a double to center field. And this came after an Iwasada hit. So that means that A, Itohara was batting leadoff today, that's right. And secondly, that Iwasada, you know, brought his bat to the game, which is great. And also, you know, he'd gone 5 innings of shutout ball at this point, which is also incredible. So 2-0 for us. Top of the seventh, though, they get one back. And that was after Iwasada got pulled, but the runner was still on his account. I think it was Kuwahara. There was a runner on third base. And he allowed a hit to left field on like the first or second pitch that he dealt. So 2-1, we go all the way to the bottom of the ninth, and Rafael Dolis comes in, and it got a little bit sloppy Joe here, everybody, which is kind of uncharacteristic of our man Dolis, but let's run down what happened. He gave up an infield hit, then it was a walk on 4 straight pitches, a failed bunt attempt, then meant that they had a chance to really do some damage here. And in fact, they pulled the old squeezer out and they were successful. And so now the score is 2-2. And their pinch hitter, Matsumoto, gets a double. So now it is 3-2, 4-2. And they get another hit and they get another walk and things are looking really bad. And we got out of the inning, but that was only thanks to Iwasaki coming in. He was the one that walked the bases loaded at the very end of the game, but then he induced the final fly ball to Nakata. So 4-2, and we did not come back. We actually got 2 guys on base, one via the error and one via a hit. So the tying run was on base, and also the go-ahead run was at the plate, that being Itoi, and he struck out. We had 3 straight strikeouts in that inning to end the game. So 4-2 loss, disappointing way to start this one. Iwasada with a great game, but Dolis with a not great game, and that's kind of uncharacteristic, so that was too bad. But, you know, these things happen to closers. It's no fun to watch, but we watch anyways because we're fans. So let's move on to brighter days, shall we? Koyo Aoyagi on Saturday evening. This was an evening game, everybody, which is rare. Saturday evening, Koyo Aoyagi going up against Luis Mendoza. And Aoyagi gets to work right away. That is, he gets worked right away. Kensuke Kondo Mr. 400, batting over 400, gets an RBI hit to right field to make it 1-0, and then Laird hits a sac fly to make it 2-0. So there you go, Aoyagi. Remember, this ain't the Little Leagues no more, and this ain't the Central League no more either. So that's the way it stays until the third. Bottom of the third, Itoi slaps one over second base to get us a run in the bottom of the third, and then the bottom of the fourth. The miracle. The wow, who expected this to happen with Okazaki, Taichi Okazaki, hitting a two-run home run to the left field corner. Again, this was a short home run, but they all count. So 3-2 lead. Aoyagi holds tough, and then Iwazaki, Takahashi, and Mateo hold tough. And then in the bottom of the eighth, Toritani hits an RBI to right field to give us some insurance. So it's 4-2. And Dolis comes in and makes us all feel a little bit nervous again, gets a couple of guys on base, but he ends up, there was a sack bunt, and then there was a strikeout, and then a foul fly to catcher. So Okazaki got to catch the final ball of the game. That was against Sho Nakata. So the win is preserved. It's 4-2 for us. We win. A series is tied. Hero is Okazaki. What the heck? When has that ever happened? I don't think it has. Exciting stuff in this one. Akiumi Takahashi and Marcos Mateo combined to strike out 5 straight guys in the 7th and 8th innings. So that was pretty cool. And then also, there was a runner interference non-call, and we tried to get runner interference on a double play that was not quite a double play in the 6th. The call was not overturned. So it just seems like every time we go to video replay with the Tigers at Koshien, it seems like we're just not getting the love. So too bad, but we win the game, so who cares? So Aoyagi with his second win, and Dolis with his 18th save. Going on to Sunday, the last game of the week. Taiki Ono goes up against Toru Murata, former AAA Toru Murata. Played for the Indians, by the way. This is Ono's third start of his career. First one did not go terribly well. The second one did not go well at all, and it kind of made me wonder, why is he getting the third one? But he kind of showed something, because we did a pretty good job on Sunday. So Takayama, in the third inning, with a hit up the middle, and so we get the first run of the game, and Ono holds them to nothing until the sixth inning when Laird hits a one-out double. So that scores the first run, and then Nakata hits a single up the middle, and that scores the second run. And then all the way until the ninth inning, it remains quiet, and Kyuji comes in and allows a double. This is a bloop double, so it wasn't a clean hit. It wasn't like he was, he was hit real badly or anything. But anyways, then that guy got bunted over to third, and then on a pass ball, again, not a wild pitch, and I'm not trying to be QG's defender here or anything, but this one's on Umeno, not on QG. Pass ball, the run scores, so now it is 3-1. And it's looking really bad going into the bottom of the ninth. And this is where the fun begins for Hanshin. So they bring in their closer, of course, Masui, right? And he walks 3 guys. He walks Fukudome, he walks Nakatani, he walks Toritani. Of course he walks Toritani, everybody does. And then on a soft grounder by Itohara, we score the first run, and that is the first out of the inning. And then we get a hit up the middle by pinch hitter Fumihito Haraguchi. So tie game now. This is getting exciting. With one out, we've got runners on first and second. And Shunsuke, by the way, I did not mention this, but he hit 3 doubles on Tuesday in the first game of the week. And all of a sudden it looked like, wow, he's really changed. He's got more, pop in his bat, blah, blah, blah. Nope. Strikeout. And then Itoi with a ground out to shortstop to end it. So not end it. End the inning. End the threat. But it goes to extras. Top of the 10th, Dolis is clean. He walked a guy, but he struck out 3. Bottom of the 10th, their guy is clean. He struck out 2 and got a third out, 1-2-3. In the 11th inning, this is Mateo. I'm just like the Japanese folks. I just get them mixed up, don't I? No, I'm just not in my own mind here. Anyways, Mateo gets a couple of guys on base. He walks one, allows a hit. So it's looking pretty bad, but he gets out of it. And then the bottom of the 11th, cue the dramatics. Yamato with a walk. And then Toritani with a terrible bunt. but their catcher Ono throws it to second base. The second baseman has to jump to make the catch, and in the time that he had to jump, Yamato slid in safely. So now it's runners first and second, no outs. And then Hojo with the bunt attempt, and his bunt attempt is terrible as well, and the pitcher throws it to third base, and Yamato is safe, except that he was called out. Kanemoto is furious. Takashiro, the third base coach, is heartbroken. He looks like he wants to cry. I'm going to try and put a link to a video clip in the show notes, but I think you can also find it either on the series recap or maybe on the Facebook page. Anyways, I'll try and find it for y'all. Hilarious stuff. Anyways, two outs, one out, runners on first and second still. And Haraguchi hits a grounder to shortstop, and this looks like a surefire inning-ending double play. But their second baseman bobbles it. No, so there's no outs on that play. Bases loaded, one out, and Taichi Okazaki comes to the plate. And this is what goes down. Ball, swing and a miss. It's a 2-1 count. Foul. I'm not a broken record. 5 straight foul balls, so it's a 2-2 count. Ball, it's a full count. All we need is a walk here. One more bad pitch, and we win on a walk-off walk. Foul. That's right, 8 foul balls, folks. And then he lines one to left field. Game over. Series win for the Tigers, 4-3. Okazaki with the double podium on the weekend. Who would have thought? It was a great game. Really exciting stuff. Good outing by Ono. Let's not forget that, even though he didn't get the win. Mateo, by the way, got his 5th win of the year. One of the things I want to note, and this is just a small subtlety that you wouldn't have caught if you weren't watching the game on TV, and that is that in the bottom of the 11th, with Taichi Okazaki up at the plate, as he's fouling off these pitches, the camera keeps going to the bench, and the guys are looking on, and they're applauding every time he fouls, and they've got huge smiles on their faces, and they've got, you know, the bottles of water ready to run onto the field and douse Okazaki or whoever it might be, the hero of the game. It shows that this team has got confidence. It shows that this team has got joy. It shows that they are expecting that they're going to win. And I love it. I love it. How can you not love that? So, 2-1 series win for the Hanshin Tigers. Loss, win, win. And now, overall, against these fighters, we are 25-27-1. So, we're still 2 games under the surface there. That's okay. We'll get it back.
This is your week.
Player of the week time. That's right. And since it is also the month of June and we changed the calendars between our last episode and this one, we're also going to do hitter of the month, pitcher of the month. So we are going to start, though, as we always do, with player of the week. And, you know, a couple of candidates. One of them would be Atsushi Nomi, with an incredible outing on Wednesday. I already highlighted it earlier, so I won't go into any more detail about that, but great stuff by him, great stuff. I definitely give him one of the runners-ups in that. The other one would be Toritani had a pretty solid week. Shunsuke actually had a pretty solid week. Takayama had a pretty solid week. He had 2 home runs. But I'm going to give it to, of course, Taichi Okazaki. Taichi Okazaki, during this week, he didn't have a ton of at-bats. He only had 9 at-bats. He went 4-for-9, though. So he had 3 hits on Saturday in his one start. He also started Friday, by the way, and flubbed a squeeze play, and then he also struck out. So we had a chance on that day as well, and he kind of blew that, and that was unfortunate. But he did redeem himself with the double heroage, like I said, 4-for-9. 444 batting average, 1 home run, 3 RBIs. 2 of those were game-winning RBIs. One of them was a walk-off. The other one was a clutch home run when we needed it. So, Taichi Okazaki, you are the man. And I give it all to you. You get player of the week. And let's move on right away to player of the month, hitter of the month we'll start with. And, you know, for this one, I'll just run down some of the key guys, some of the guys that did really well. Takashi Toritani, of course, you know, the guy who got hit in the face with a pitch and still continued to play. He deserves our props. He batted .299 on the month, 1 home run, 15 RBIs. 15, pretty impressive, and 1 stolen base. But he did also get caught stealing, I think, 4 times, so I'm going to say no guy to him. Other ones, Takayama. Actually, no. Takayama's my guy. So Takayama went 286 on the month. And he hit 4 home runs, had 12 RBIs, and stole 2 bases. He also vastly improved his walks to strikeout ratio. He's starting to be a lot more selective. And I think maybe that comes with the role. You know, he has been batting leadoff a lot. Although recently he's been batting third. So I think that comes into play. And another guy I want to mention, just as like an honorable mention again, is Masahiro Nakatani, who did not have a great hitting month, batting 250. He had 5 home runs, 13 RBIs, and 5 doubles. So a pretty solid month from him. And now, pitcher of the month. Well, this one is pretty obvious, so I'm just going to run a couple of runners-up by you first. Rafael Dolis. Yeah, you know, his blown save earlier this week was in June, so we look at his May. He went 9 innings pitched and an ERA of 0 with 12 strikeouts. Pretty impressive. And then we've got Kentaro Kuwahara, our number 64 on episode 64. Sorry, guy, I can't give it to you. 9 and a third innings, 10 strikeouts, an ERA of 0.93. That means that he allowed 1 run, and his whip, walks and hits per inning, was 0.64. Which means allowing 2 base runners every 3 innings. That's pretty solid stuff. But I'm going to give it to Atsushinomi, of course. 4 starts, 26 and 2/3 innings pitched, 16 hits against, 8 walks, 1 hit batsman, 1 earned run all month for an ERA of 0.34. And by the way, he won just 2 games. He had 2 non-decisions. So 2-0, but Nomi, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets CL Pitcher of the Month, although, you know, the people that choose these guys, very often they will never choose somebody that got only 2 wins. So probably not your month, buddy, but in my heart and in my eyes, you are the guy of the month.
Huh? What? What's this Wacky Tomoaki?
Wacky Tomoaki. Well, I mean, there are several things to choose from, but I am going to go with the squeeze play, the failed squeeze play by Taichi Okazaki in the 8th inning against the Ham Fighters. Oops, the Fighters. On Friday night, it was a 1-0 count, and Okazaki is not an amazing bunter. And the other thing is, the pitcher that was up was not having a great control day, and so on a 1-0 count, and this is a not a bunting situation, so, you know, a lot of times when it is a bunting situation, the pitcher will often try to throw something near the strike zone because, you know, they want the person to attempt to bunt and miss or whatever, but there was no indication that a bunt was going to happen. And on a 1-0 count, the pitch was in the dirt, and Okazaki had committed, and the team had committed to the squeeze play, and boom, we failed. So I just thought the timing was pretty bad. Maybe if, you know, if the count had been a little bit different, if it had been a 2-0 count and a strike was, you know, a little bit more guaranteed, it would have been better, but not on a 1-0 count, guys. Sorry. I just don't think. For the hot topic, we would love to welcome back our friend, Mr. Christian Jin. Thank you, by the way, for last week. Thank you for your predictions, and thank you for your vote of confidence in the Tigers. You said 2 out of 3. You were bang on, buddy, so thanks. And so today we have got Christian back to talk about the Oryx Buffaloes and the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks. So first up, the Oryx Buffaloes. Tell us a little bit, friend.
Hey, everyone. Christian Jin here, coming to you from Graveyard Baseball, home of all things Saitama Sabre Lions in English. So the Hanshin Tigers are going to be going out to Kyocera Dome to face the Oryx Buffaloes. It's a team that pretty much you guys probably know because you live in the vicinity of the area in Kansai. They got into the building that, of course, the Tigers are very familiar with during when the Koshin tournament is happening. Now, the Oryx Buffaloes are a team that's really been off to a strong start, and they had a terrible month of May. But, however, this is a very new month for them, and because it's June, anything can happen. Oryx, I've said it before, they have plenty of talent. They're a team that knows how to essentially do things right. They have the talent to compete, but they haven't had things come together because of their manager and some issues upstairs and question marks. But the good thing is, from their point, the management is at least a little bit more baseball-minded. They're not distracted as much as the year before. Now, the Tigers are likely to see Chihiro Kaneko, Daiki Tomei, and Brandon Dixon on the front end of the week. I think Kaneko's obviously been an ace based on reputation. He had a very rough start a couple weeks ago, but you know, his last game was pretty good. he's shown that he can at least pitch and still be the front-end guy. He may no longer be an ace, but he's still a front-end starter. Daiki Tomei had a decent start. He made his debut this past week. Did all right. I think Tomei is a solid starter. 2015, he had a good year, though he had a bad season last year. As for Brandon Dixon, he can have good starts. He's a good number three. Solid pitcher. May not be great, but he's also not bad. So I think the competition should be pretty good this week in terms of pitching. Their hitting is really dependent on two guys, Aichi Koyano and Takahiro Okada. Those are the two main guys that have done very well for them. They were dependent on them for a lot of the month of May. Now, Oryx's offensive stats don't look good as a team, but the one thing I can say is that Stefan Romero is back from his injury. At least he returned earlier this past week. So with Romero back, I think the offense can get a little bit of a revival because the team played well with him in the lineup versus without him and when he was injured. So, you know, expect Oryx's offense will be very unpredictable, I think, given there's veterans and there's still guys like Nishino, who's pretty solid. So, their bullpen, back into the bullpen's good with Kuroki as the setup guy and Hirano is serviceable, but their middle relief is as vulnerable as anyone else. I think the Tigers could go in there and take two out of three from Oryx, though I wouldn't be surprised if Oryx's pitching can shut the Tigers' offense down, no matter what numbers are cited. Should be a lot of pitchers' duels on paper, because I know the Tigers will likely throw Akiyama, Nomi, and Messenger, I know, who have been pretty solid for the Tigers. So, got to like the pitchers' duel in Kansai on paper, but I think the Tigers can squeak two out of three, though it won't be easy and it won't be close, because Oryx has played better as of late. And despite that terrible May, as long as Romero is in their lineup, I think they're going to be competitive.
Thanks. Some really good stuff. You mentioned a lot of names of guys that I didn't know or that I haven't been following, and so that's definitely helpful to get things rolling for us. And certainly, by the way, everybody, Christian does not record these on Sunday night or Monday or anything like that. He's recording probably midweek. So he's not really in the know, so to speak, about the Buffalo's 7-game win streak and the fact that they are the only undefeated team in Interleague. However, you know, on the other hand, they have been playing the Patsies. They played against the Swallows and they played against the Giants. Just a little side note to show a little love to the Giants fans out there. You guys suck. 10 straight losses. Third time in team history that they've lost 10 or more games. The franchise record is 11. And that's on the line on Tuesday against the Cebu Lions. Go Lions, Christian. Go Lions. So anyways, I think the Buffaloes are going up against a team that is pretty good right now, that being the Hanshin Tigers, of course. You know, we won 4 out of 6 against the PL Patsies. And so it's not like we beat really tough teams either. However, I still think that with our, like Christian said, our top three pitchers going up, you know, we've got Akiyama, we've got Nomi, and we've got Messenger. And certainly those, the latter two, have tons of experience at Kyocera Dome. They've also played against these Buffaloes several times. And so I expect them to come out and do their job. And I think one of the gaps, one of the differences between us and the Buffaloes is the bullpen. Our bullpen is tops in the CL. I think it might even be tops in NPB. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, so I can't tell you for sure. But I will tell you this. The Buffaloes, they ain't got a good bullpen. These numbers that I'm going to give you are reflective of May 14th, and so it doesn't take into account the last 3 weeks. This is straight out of the Hanshin Tigers Monthly Magazine, and at that point in the season, through May 14th, their bullpen had thrown nearly 98 innings and allowed 48 runs for an ERA of 4.42. With Hanshin's penchant for coming back in late innings and beating up on other teams' relievers, I could see us getting at least one win via the come-from-behind against their bullpen. And then maybe we get another one because of one of our dominant starters. And yeah, I don't know about the Kaneko thing. He is a good pitcher, and there's a good chance that he will beat us. However, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we win all three, just to be different. Just because Christian said 2 out of 3, I'm going to say 3 out of 3. So there you have it, folks. I think this is our last chance to sweep a series during this interleague because the other teams look really good. Did you notice that our schedule happened to line up pretty much worst to first in the PL? We had 6th place and 5th place last week. We have 4th and 2nd this week, and then we have 3rd and 1st next week, at least as the standings are now. The other thing to note about this series, though, is that a lot of their main hitters are actually pretty good against these Tigers. So Nakajima hits 329 against us career. T. Okada hits 324 against us career. And Koyano hits 314 against us career. And so that doesn't bode very well. But hopefully, going up against these pitchers, and hopefully Nomi stays hot, hopefully Akiyama bounces back from last week, and Messenger also bounces back. You know, he's going to be pitching on a mound that he typically does really well on. So I could easily see us taking 2 out of 3, but I'm going to be brave and say 3 out of 3. There you go. Christian, give us a little bit more insight about these SoftBank Hawks.
Now, as for the weekend that comes ahead, the Hanshin Tigers are going to go down to Fukuoka to face the SoftBank Hawks. It's, of course, a team you guys are very familiar with, as it happened during the 2014 Japan Series, the last game Koji Akiyama has ever managed. So where have the Hawks been since winning that title? Well, they're still very talented, very loaded from top to bottom, a team that still has championship aspirations and expectations as the season winds along. That being said, they're vulnerable. They are not as invincible as they were 2 years ago. I think right now their issue is trying to find out who should start in the rotation on a week-to-week basis. They've had some guys out, some guys have not been healthy. Then they've thrown the back end of the rotation has been just kind of mediocre number three type of starters, number fours. This weekend, though, you are likely to see Rick Vandenhurk and Kodai Senga. Of course, Vandenhurk and Senga were both in the WBC. Vandenhurk was there for the Dutch, and then, of course, Senga. We all saw how he did in relief for Samurai Japan. He was a solid pitcher. Senga missed, I think he missed one game or got hurt, but once he was back previously, he's shown that he can play very, very well. And Senga is going to be the biggest challenge for the Tigers coming into the weekend. I think Vandenhurk has been okay. He has not been as invincible as when he started with the team, but he's still a solid pitcher, and I expect him to make it interesting. Of course, the back end is still very uncertain. As said, they're throwing in guys left and right. Previously, they spot started one of their former first round picks, Matsumoto. First round pick of theirs, I believe it was 2014. It'd be interesting. You could be seeing a spot starter during the weekend. It could be Hayato Terahata, potentially. And then they could also just stick with the plan and go with Matsumoto. So, it really is interesting who could be starting for the Hawks. That's the one thing they have issues with, is trying to figure out who to put in the rotation, because there's so many guys that could be starters on other teams. They have plenty of guys out of their factory, as we call it, usually at least among ourselves. We often say they have plenty of guys from the factory that just come up and are ready to go. The interesting guys that they've had this year that have played very well is Seiji Uebayashi, a guy you may not be familiar with in their outfield. He's an up-and-coming young guy. And then, of course, there's a catcher whose name is Takuya Kai. If they play him, he's going to be a dangerous threat for many years to come, also out of the factory. But they have the usual veterans, like Yuki Yanagita, Seiichi Uchikawa, the usual suspects who usually tear it up with their bats. Playing in that short porch at Fukuoka always helps. Home runs are a little bit easier to hit in what we call the basket or the terrace. Also, they have, of course, Munenori Kawasaki, who came back from the major leagues and was part of the World Series champion-winning Cubs. So the Hawks are still going to be favored. They're expected to win a lot, but I also think the Tigers can go in there and at least take one, maybe two games. I think they can beat the spot starter and beat Vandenhurk, but I'm going to still predict that the Tigers lose 2 out of 3. They will lose to Senga, maybe lose one of those other games, but I think the Tigers are going to compete with their hitting and their pitching. I mean, you never know if you can benefit from that outfield. And also, I look out for, of course, Alfredo Despaigne, who's been their new power hitter that they got from the Marines. That's been the other big name. So plenty of guys in the Hawks can come out of nowhere. Just don't be surprised whatever they throw out. I mean, their pitching is usually their strength, but because the Tigers are entering on the back end, you never know. I just think Senga is going to be the only big challenge for the Tigers, but they still have plenty of offense, and that park can make your power numbers inflated. So, yes, thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll see you guys. You can always find our coverage for Pacific League Baseball and the Lions at graveyardbaseball.blogspot.com, and we're also available on Twitter at graveyardball. Thanks again, and good luck to the Hanshin Tigers this week.
Yeah, you know, this is a scary team, and I appreciate your vote of confidence, Christian, saying that we could win 2 out of 3, even though you don't predict it. I'm going to go out and just say, no, we can't. I don't think that we can win 2 out of 3, not with our back half rotation and not with their power bats. I mean, I just don't think that Iwasada plus Aoyagi plus Ono can do it. Ono did pretty well this past week against the Fighters. He also did not have to face Kensuke Kondo, who was not in the lineup. And of course, Shohei Ohtani was not in the lineup either. These Hawks, barring some injury this week, are only going to be without Seiichi Uchikawa, who went down on Sunday with an injury, which is a bit of a blessing in disguise. I don't think it's enough of a difference maker to tilt this one in our favor. The Hawks have the best strikeout rate among pitchers in the PL. 8.15 per 9 innings. That is crazy good. They also have 10 pitchers that can throw over 150 K per hour. That's this season. But the good news on that is we've got some of our hitters that do really well against the fastball. And so hopefully guys like Itoi, Haraguchi, and Uemoto, and even Nakatani, and even Toritani can do something against these flamethrowers. So as of May the 14th, again, a little bit of old statage, but you know this is the best I can do. Itoi was batting 418 against the fastball. Haraguchi 370, Uemoto 326, Nakatani 304, and Toritani 298. So that might be the key for us to make sure that we sit on these fastballs and take them for rides. Because these Hawks look pretty good. And yeah, with Vandenhoek, and then I don't know if it is going to be Matsumoto. He was their first-round draft pick in 2014. And then Kodai Senga. We faced Senga last year. We got no runs against him. I don't expect that to repeat itself. But of course, it's going to be Taiki Ono against Kodai Senga. That one is a little bit of a mismatch. And so, yeah, best case scenario, we're going to take 2 out of 3. But I'm going to say 1 out of 3 here. So I'm still going to say a 4-2 week, and that is being a little bit optimistic, but that is my prediction. What do you all say? What do you think? Who's going to win which games? How many is Hanshin going to take? Are we going to remain above 500 in Interleague by the end of this week? I certainly hope so. The good news is that none of these games will be rained out because they're all being played under domed roofs. And then next week, we come home and we play 6 straight at Koshien, and hopefully that works to our advantage, even though we are facing formidable opponents. But we will talk more about them next week, and hopefully, Christian, you going to be back for us? I know you will, because we're talking about your Lions. So, thanks for listening to Christian and myself. One more thing I did not mention earlier, and that is in the news, Tsuyoshi Nishioka. Remember him? He's been doing some good work down on the farm. He actually got hits in 3 consecutive games down on the farm. That would be on May the 30th, 31st, and June the 1st. And he's hoping to rejoin the top roster at the end of Interleague play. Come on, Tsuyoshi. Oh, Nishioka. Oh, Tsuyoshi. We're waiting for you, buddy. Just a few announcements before we wrap this show up. If you are going to any Hanshin Tigers games, whether at Koshien or whether at Kyocera this week or even at Yafuoku Dome this week, and if you take pictures, I would love it if you could send me some pictures. Send them to H10, write them into an email, attach them into an email for me, thehanshintigers@gmail.com. I would love to put those into the series recaps. I'll give you credit. I'll shout out some love to you, and you can get people to follow you on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever it might be, Instagram, all that good stuff. Also, if you're going to a game, hit me up. I might be at the game too. Maybe we can meet before or after the game. That would be really cool. The next game that I'm going to be at is going to be June the 13th against the Saitama Seibu Lions. Thank you once again for your time and your passion for the Hanshin Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Just type in the 4 magic words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review, and share with your friends and enemies. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. Just search for Hanshin Tigers English News. We're up to, I think, 480 people in that community. Keep that going. Follow T-Ray on Twitter @TheHanshinTiger. We're at almost 600 strong there, and 99% of my tweets are about the Hanshin Tigers. So if you want news, if you want commentary, you got it right there. Please, add me. It'll be worth it, trust me. But until next time, keep cheering until a manager calls his own number off the bench and hits us a game-winning home run. Kanemoto, you can do it, buddy. Have a great week, everyone.